Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
And welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast. We have a very special guest on the line.
Let me introduce literally my favorite comedian alive right now, Bill Burr. How are you, Bill?
Hey, what's going on?
The one and only Rich Eisen.
Sports is a lot safer than Christian Mingle.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. I'm a Jew.
Without further ado, the one and only best-selling author, popular radio show host, Jim Norton.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. What a rookie I am. You're listening, I just interrupt.
You know, I'm from The Man Show and Loveline. The godfather of podcasts himself, Adam Carolla.
Thanks for having me.
Very, very special guest. Used to be from Opie and Anthony, now from The Anthony Cumia Show. Anthony Cumia.
Look at that. What an intro. Jesus.
Smooth as silk.
Like, I thought I'd be on hold for the next segment while you talk to this wonderful person.
I was checking the specs on the end line for the rotary girder. I'm retarded.
Welcome, everybody. Comedy Food Sports, episode 99. Wow. Wayne Gretzky. Anybody else?
Warren Sapp.
Warren Sapp. Oh, you took the one I had.
Yeah, Warren Touchum Sapp.
Turk Wendell.
Oh, that's I already had him, didn't I? I said Mark Wohlers. I don't know if I...
Oh, sure, yeah.
Every Alabama kicker.
Right, exactly.
You ever notice that? All their kickers are 99.
Yeah. That's the number when they their number in line to eat. We're back episode 99. We want to thank everybody for listening to episodes at 97, 98. John Ziegler was a huge hit. I'm sure we're gonna have him back on once the dust settles and we stop getting death threats. So a lot of fun though. That was really cool. It was actually really cool to see, hear some of the feedback and just see how much of an influence that guy actually has on people. And also we want to thank all the people on 1360 are listening in. And yeah, so we're going to get right into it. So this week we have Ahmed Barucha, funny comedian. He is half Catholic, half Burmese, Indian, Pakistani. I'm running out of room here until I can find the actual one. Muslim and something else. I was looking for his notes. But anyway, he's a super funny dude. He's part of the show Dreamcore. He was on, if anybody remembers that viral video of the quote-unquote gay joke on Adam Devine's house party. Super funny and a really brilliant kind of take on it. And he's also got a Comedy Central special out, and he's got an album called Almond Badoody. See, his name's Ahmed Barucha. So guessing it has to do with people mispronouncing his name, but you know,
I can relate to that.
Yeah. Sheldon from the show about Asperger's.
Yeah.
Okay. I did have to look this up because he's also performing in Saudi Arabia soon. And the documentary you shouldn't watch on Netflix is Saudi Arabia Uncovered, where they have a journalist like sneak in a hidden camera and just walk around. It's crazy. Really disturbing. I know we're on conservative talk radio now, so I just want to say Saudi Arabia is really messed up. I'm kind of with you on that one, at least.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. Whoa. I don't think the conservatives are anti-Saudi Arabian because they're... They're the ones that have caused all these problems, but you know.
Do people still believe that? Are like conservative people still kind of bought into that like neocon thing where like the Saudis are our great like allies? And
I think it's a mixed breed. I do. I think it's an odd mixed breed.
I think
I don't
more
think
like
libertarians used to be.
Yeah, because I think of them as more like libertarians.
Who's that? The Saudis?
No. Not them at all. Obviously, the.
conservative they kind of are in a weird way, but
no, conservative talk radio people, they're more like Glenn Beck types now, right?
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd consider him a libertarian, but I get what you're saying.
Well, you know, foreign policy wise.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about this? I said we were going to talk about the Raiders. There you go.
All the Eagles.
All the people like that accidentally left the radio on it.
People trying to put their kids to sleep.
Finally, we're talking about the issues.
Somebody's really getting the hard-hitting issues.
My favorite is local conservative talk radio because it's all just complaining about superintendents.
Comptrollers. All right, so let's talk about the Cubs and the engines, right?
Oh, sure. Number 99, also. I had to confirm this.
Yeah.
Wild thing.
Yeah. He's not throwing the first pitch. How weak is that, by the way?
Yeah, it is bullshit. That's bush league.
Often. Nobody cares.
Oh, sorry about that.
Was I talking loud enough? We probably didn't hear it. The FCC's really got
FCC that later.
1360, come on.
There's some guy asleep at the wheel.
What was I gonna say?
And that threw us off.
Anyway,
what's that? Yeah, throw us off. So Cleveland versus the Cubs and Trump versus Hillary. It really is like a dystopian 90s movie about like what the future would be like in 2016.
Idiocracy, man. It's Idiocracy. I'm telling you.
A little bit.
Yeah. Of Idiocracy. All right.
Really so wait, is. Does that mean Trump is what's his name? Terry Day. Whatever his name is. Terry Day.
Macho Camacho.
Yeah,
exactly. Terry President Macho Camacho, the best like ever.
A couple of flaws with that movie. It was like so close to being great.
But it could have been. Yeah, it could have been like a classic, but then it just...
There's too much that functioned. That was the problem.
Yeah.
Like electricity, running water, like there's too many pieces of that, but I was just kind of like, yeah.
It should have been like one piece set that was just like ridiculous because they went too far into the whole like apartments and all that stuff.
Yeah, they said when Mike Judge was on WTF, he was talking about how they didn't have the budget to really do what they wanted to, so they kind of had to do this makeshift version of it. So,
like Pootie Tang.
Pootie Tang is the greatest ever. Hey, who directed that? Come on, pop quiz. Who directed it?
That's Louis C.K., right?
Yeah.
And he didn't get Final Cut, and they did the voiceovers, and he didn't like that. So I'm torn. I still haven't seen it, because I obviously didn't want to see it when it was out, because it looked terrible.
Oh, you got to watch it. It's horribly good.
Absolutely.
It's horribly good. You got to watch it.
But it's still not the way he wanted it, you know?
Pretty done. But it's, again.
I think it's even better because it is so ridiculous. Like, uh-huh. You're just, like, you can't help but watch it. Like, what the hell am I watching?
Isn't David Shaw, like, the crooked cop in it or something random like
he's
that?
He's the crooked corporate guy. He like dresses up as Pootie or David Cross dresses up as Pootie Tang. He's like in blackface. He's like, "Hey, what's happening, my damies?" It's ridiculous, man. It's pure like idiotic. Like it's just a good bad movie.
Right. So anyway, yeah.
None of that Indians was about Cubs. The Eagles.
No. Indians Cubs.
Indians Cubs.
Shelf. Shelf says they. This week they are proven to be the frauds they are by beating an undefeated team.
No. They were proven to be the frauds they are by losing to the Redskins.
Yeah.
The question I have is why didn't the Vikings at all go down the field? Like you got two of the fastest receivers in the league and you're throwing dink and dunk passes. All of a sudden Sam Bradford looks like that one retarded eye he has doesn't work this week. It makes no sense. That's not FCC violation. You're not taking that one from me. I told you. Not taking gay from me. You're not taking retarded, and you're not taking the other one. But I'm not saying that one.
Just start with an F.
yes. Wow. Ding, 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 ding.
Speaking of Louis C.K., does he use it way more than he needs to? A little bit.
That's almost like a shield, you know. Like maybe he's trying to tell you something.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do they still have ties? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So
they can't have like a field goal off. They can't do like penalty shots.
That's what Russell Wilson said, I think. It's one of those guys.
Oh, really?
So they have like a field goal kicking contest. Like let's just call it what it is.
No, it's
I mean, ties terrible.
Well, tie's terrible, but at least it's in the same division. So realistically, those two will be the leaders in the division at the end of the year anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're best the Rams. Come on.
So yeah, San Fran and the Rams aren't doing anything, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, this is true. And Arizona might be the worst team in the NFL at the same time.
Yeah, they have some pretty bad stretches. But, I mean, Carson Palmer, I think, is just a bad quarterback. I just think he's just
– Did anybody score yesterday, by the way? Did they score any points here?
No, they're 6-6.
Just checking. It's kind of being sarcastic, kind of being serious.
Oh, okay.
When I went to bed, it was still 0-0, and I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, screwed me in fantasy because I had Jimmy Graham. I was like, he should at least get something good. You know, linebackers aren't that great. I mean, nothing. By the way, I'm doing fantastic in fantasy this year.
Awesome.
Well, Define Fantastic.
Yeah, it's fun fantastic.
Oh, okay.
Fun so fantastic. Anyway, let me ask you this, by the way. Sure. You guys,
I don't know if we can top that riveting talk. I know. That going on there?
A conversational cul-de-sac.
You guys were going to talk about the Cleveland Indians and all that stuff. I don't care about those. The Dodgers kid who was home, who was working at a grocery store. Did you see that story? Cole? Is that his name? Starter? The kid's name is Cole, I think. Apparently he was the number one pick from the Rays or something like that a couple years ago. And then he had an anxiety attack and was out of the league. And working at a grocery store like he was Kurt Warner of baseball. And apparently now he's starting for the Dodgers.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. The Dodgers are out of the league. They're the thing now, but yeah.
Well, that was almost a great story then. That was almost a Cinderella story. And now it's just kind of like, eh. It's like the whole Josh Hamilton thing. Everybody was crazy about him for a while. What was his deal? He was crack, was it?
Crack. He was the first overall pick. He smoked crack. That was a good story. He was MVP of the league like 2 out of 3 years or something like
that. What that tells you is that baseball's terrible.
Yeah. Speaking of terrible, have we talked about how low the NFL ratings are this year?
Yeah, well, what do you expect? I mean, you can't celebrate. You can't do anything.
Oh, the game's on every day of the week.
That's the other
I think that's like, more the
Thursday
point.
Game
yeah.
is terrible.
And, by the way, 2/3 of the teams suck.
Yeah, that is true.
Well, they wanted 24-hour football, and they wanted parity. And they got both, and nobody cares about either. I mean, it's saturation. And then, like I said, everybody's 4-3 in the NFC East. You know, it's just,
I mean, I think this might be the earliest in the season I've seen there's no undefeated teams anymore.
Thanks to the awesome Eagles, right? Thanks to the ginger from North Dakota. Come on.
Come on, man. I'll give him his credit, but everyone else.
Oh, he's good. Even the game the game before the Redskins. That was completely on Nelson Aguilar. Twice.
And Ryan USC Matt. Running back USC receivers and Alabama running backs are both busts in the NFL.
Yeah, and they get fat.
And USC quarterbacks, too, by the way.
Come on, Matt Barkley. Give me a break.
He's a monster for Chicago right now. I mean, look at Chicago. They're tearing it apart.
So, fun fact for you.
I'll be the judge of that.
How often has a team won, a city won two sports championships in the same year?
How often? How far are we going back?
How many is it? How many times it happened? And then who was the last one to do it?
Okay, last one to do it.
I'm going to go with 3. And I would say the last one to do it was Boston, probably.
Mm-hmm. You were close, though. You're kind of close in both senses, even though you're not close with one of them.
Pawtucket.
Jay.
Not that close.
Okay, this is a serious show, all right? Come on.
It's a serious show.
Beck just got done yelling at people an hour ago.
First of all, I want to put a prerequisite in there. If this answer has anything to do with hockey, I'm going to punch you in the face.
No, it doesn't. It should, but it doesn't.
No,
actually, one of them. The hockey might have been involved with one of these. I don't know them all.
If that's the case, I'm going to go with Detroit, obviously.
Well, I was going to go Chicago in that case because you got that Bulls run.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Blackhawks weren't winning during then, though.
No,
I would say Detroit and the Pistons, or Detroit and the Red Wings.
The most recent one, which shouldn't count, by the way, in my opinion, but the most recent one was 2002. The Los Angeles Anaheim Angels of Anaheim and the Los Angeles Lakers.
They go so out of their way to say that they're not Los Angeles. I know. I'm with you. That's not, no.
It doesn't count because it's an hour away. Yeah, it's just like if the Niners and the Giants won in the same season. It doesn't count anymore. You guys play in Santa Clara. That is not San Francisco. I don't care. I am putting my foot down on that one.
It may as well be East Rutherford.
Exactly. Place is the worst.
That's what I was saying.
It's so awful. I mean, it's not Newark, Newark's got probably the cream of the crop of
what's
all
it got?
I don't know. It's got Booker. Come on.
I know our future first black president.
Yep. Still got it, Jay.
I know. I'm still working that line. It'll come true one day.
See the Obama Reese mean tweets about him?
No, I have it queued up to watch it though.
It's actually pretty good.
Awesome.
It was funny about the Trump thing. She said Trump said that he's going to go down in history as the worst president. He's one of the worst presidents. He said, but at least I'll go down in history as a president. Bam! Take that one there, Baldy.
As they say, zero is given. I beat myself out there.
Yeah, he really doesn't care.
Oh, though. He's. I mean, you talk about going out with like baseball bat over your shoulder, just like bash stuff in the White House on the way out.
He's like. If you watch him at his conferences, like he just leans on the podium now. He doesn't even like stand straight anymore. He's just like leaning.
He's like, dog. Like, what?
So y'all fools don't realize.
He's been like that for a long time ago, since he was on Mark Maron's podcast and he did Between Two Ferns. He just hit a point where it's just like, you know what? I'm just going to be everywhere.
It was second people term. Like it was second term. And that was
wait till people see that Obamacare hike that's happening in January and I'm out the dough.
Well, you know what's funny to me is like people complain about that, right? And I'm like, first of all, it's because it's a free enterprise created situation where these healthcare companies are going to keep doing it. As long as companies are signed up with them, of course they're going to charge you an arm and a leg for it. So tell your employer you don't want to use them. Like, people are like, oh, I can't believe it. Shut up. Stop complaining. Go to HR. I hate people. I really hate people. I hate people as a whole, man. Like, seriously. We're idiots.
It's our black Republican.
It is.
But what's up with your Senate run? Did that not come through?
Not yet. That's in 2 years. I couldn't run for state this year.
You got to plan it out.
I got to plan it out. I got to double check and vet myself because I got to make sure there's nothing crazy back there. Probably have to erase all 100 of these episodes.
I was going
to
say, I don't know what if you had ever had any kind of thought in your mind. Man.
No, seriously. Billy Bush comments like nothing.
I'm surprised they give me a library card. Nobody checked.
I don't care.
We have a recording of Shelton on his podcast called the Comedy Food Sports Podcast.
It's going to be greatest stuff.
Oddly enough, he's making fun of black people in this situation, so I'm not even sure if this is offensive.
Yeah, I don't know if I like it or not. They're doing that with Donald Trump Jr. His son used to be on Opie and Anthony all the time, and they're pulling out everything that he said on the show.
Here's the thing about politics. It's like, if you apologize or at least admit you said it, people don't go after you. If you deny it, that's when everyone comes out the woodwork. Like, nah, dude, you said it.
You have to go sober. That's totally the thing. Just like sober up and like really talk about it a lot. Talk about God. Be sober.
No, I can't talk about God. I hate God. I'll talk about I'll really support MAD and all that fun drunk driving stuff and all that stuff. Yeah, absolutely. But no, I'm not, dude.
Yeah. I mean, so far, I can't see any problems if they come back and check the paper.
I see a ton. But here's the thing. At least I'll admit it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the whole thing. There's one person who I envy in the world. It's Sarah Palin. That woman is making $100,000 to speak, and she can't even speak because she was
easy. Vice President. Tread lightly. Let's not forget our station. Don't forget her bread's our butter.
I bet that's their darling right there.
Yeah, nobody caught that bread's our butter, by the way. Instead of butter's our bread, but that's all right.
I mean, it's like...
Up the room. He's watching Dream Corp right now.
I wish I could. The site was down.
No, I mean, it's just crazy. Like, she makes all these speeches, and she's literally had one of the worst campaigns in the world. And she got a reality show and everything. Dude, you don't want to be a politician for the rest of your life anyway, so.
She had the steepest trajectory from straight out of nowhere to, like, now you're going to be, like, the vice presidential candidate. Yeah. That I didn't see that coming at all. Like, all the people he could have chosen, that was, like, 15th on the list.
Like, part of me thinks he was tanking it. Not part of me, all of me.
Absolutely. Tanking it for the last three elections. Like,
that's why. I mean, like, McCain shouldn't have been running in the first place. Like, it's not that he's not worthy of running, but like, he's like 20 years too late.
Well, that's what it is. It was all that same game where it was his turn to run. I mean, they did the same thing with Bob Dole. It was his turn, so they threw him out there and just said, you know, it's like,
Bob Dole says yes. Bob Dole likes that. It's the same thing with Hillary, too. I mean,
everybody does the Bob Dole impression. It's the same thing. And when people do the Tracy Morgan impression, it's like so far from the real thing. It's like, Everybody goes, Bob Dole. Everybody becomes Tracy, like Norm MacDonald's impression.
Tracy Morgan is so far from the real thing of Tracy Morgan. So.
Yeah, right, exactly. I've like heard him interviewed, like, and I'm like, you know, like he's been on Carolla's podcast, for example, and he's like out to lunch, don't get me wrong, but he just talks. Like you barely even know it's him. He's not like, yo, Al Gore is my biological uncle.
Sometimes I'd like to eat some paste on my bread. what are you talking about?
All right, so we're going to take a break. We're going to have Ahmed Barucha on the other side. Super funny guy, great story, good background. He's on Dream Corp, which everybody's crazy about. I'm excited to watch it. One episode's been out. Episodes are every Sunday at 11:45 in the p.m. On Adult Swim. Cartoon Network. Does Adult Swim have their own station? It's just Cartoon Network.
It's Cartoon Network. At night.
It's after 11, yeah.
It's their Nick at Night for anybody who's my age and never progressed past.
Yeah. Very true, very true.
Plus, he's performing at an embassy in Saudi Arabia, and that's a place where people just kind of push women over in supermarkets and whip them in the streets. Not to bring it all down. Well, I got freaked out. Oh my god. Yeah, I've been watching, like, I got into this loop. I should have taken some sort of psychological examination before HBO started having that Vice News on every night.
Vice, dude, that show is like,
right?
Yeah. It's because it makes you look for everything else.
I've been in this loop where I'm not watching anything except for documentaries about like Muslim people being terrible.
Yeah, or the water in India. That's all they keep talking about.
Oh god, I know. Not even like, oh, I can't even. Yeah, all of it is just.
It's best
not thought about. And then, but no, Saudi Arabia is always going to be a great show. He's going to be over there if you're in Riyadh and you're not getting beheaded in the square. They have the square where they do all the executions and torturings, and they have actual grates at the bottom of it for all the blood to run down into.
That's just efficiency.
Well, it's not.
Yeah, just because you're taking people's heads off doesn't mean that, you know.
That's just elegant design.
Right.
Steve Jobs had the same thing in his boardroom.
All righty. Speaking of Pakistani CEOs, right? Come on. Who's with me? Microsoft? Nothing? All right. On the other side, we have Ahmed Barucha. He's a funny dude. Check out his album, Almond Badoodi. And go to Comedy Central and check out some clips from his Comedy Central special. It's airing all the time on Comedy Central. And check out Dream Corp on Adult Swim, 11:45 every Sunday. And they play replays every once in a while. So check it out. Funny dude, check him out. And he'll be on the other side. Welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast, episode 99. I didn't even realize we're on episode 99, by the way. We have a very special guest on the line, a super funny guy who had one of the all-time funniest and probably most viral gay joke, for lack of a better term. It wasn't an anti-gay, pro-gay joke. Super funny guy. He's got a Comedy Central half-hour special out. He's on the show Dream Corp, which people are going crazy over, so I'm excited to talk to him about that. And he also has an album out called Almond Batuti. And so without further ado, Ahmed Barucha, am I right on that?
Hey, yeah, that's right, thank you.
I've seen you stand up a bunch, but I never actually listened close enough for the intro the introduction. I just recognize your face.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. So first off, I want to talk about the heritage, because you have quite a degree of stuff. So you're half Irish Catholic, half Pakistani, Indian, Burmese, Muslim. Does that sound right?
Yep. Yeah.
Awesome. So how did that concoction come together? I mean, you don't have to get the details.
So my dad is an Indian, born in Burma, but kind of moved to Pakistan. He's Muslim, and he met my mom, who's Irish Catholic in America, and they got married. And they both actually stayed their own religions, and they got married in secret at first. They didn't tell their families because both their families were kind of hemming and hawing about it. Wow. And then, yeah, 40 years later, they're still married.
Wow. That's a really awesome story. I was talking about before we actually called you. I was like, that always, the spawn of that type of relationship always breeds success, I feel like. Like, whether it's, you know, entertainment or whether it's, like, in work, it's like, automatically going to be a successful child.
Yeah, they worked hard at being together, so you figure as a kid, you might as well make it worth it.
Right, exactly. So the proverbial question that obviously always gets asked, what got you into to comedy and kind of when?
Sure. When I was a kid, I always watched stand-up, like, at a really young age, so I was kind of obsessed with it right away when I was a kid. But then in college, I started working at a comedy club as a dishwasher and a busboy. Nice. And that's when I first actually went on stage. So yeah, I'd kind of been obsessed with it growing up and then finally got the guts in college.
Well, who did you watch when you were a kid?
I watched like Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Seinfeld, Dave Attell, Pryor, just kind of everyone. Roddy Dangerfield.
Oh, sure.
Stephen Wright, Bob Newhart.
That's awesome. So which, just out of curiosity, which club was it at? Does it still exist?
No, it actually closed like a week after I started. So I might have been bad luck for it. But it was Stitch's Comedy Cafe in Providence, Rhode Island, which was in just like a bottom floor of a mall. So it wasn't like the greatest place for a comedy club. But
it's so weird how those type of clubs can either be great or they're just a train wreck. But there's like never a middle ground.
I'm pretty sure the owner was just a doctor who was bored, so he's like, I want to own a comedy club, but kind of didn't really know much about it, so
yeah,
went at him.
It's like those people that get the inheritance for a restaurant or for million dollar inheritance. They open a restaurant, they've never worked at one
exactly
before. That's awesome. So how did you get to kind of from then to like Adam Devine's House Party and you know, kind of the upward spiral that you're on?
Yeah, so I was doing comedy for, right now it's about 12 years, and so about 3 years I spent doing it just in Rhode Island, traveling every once in a while, then I found Boston, and Boston's a great place to kind of grow as a young comic. There's a lot of other really great comics there just starting out, and then, so maybe about 6 years in, I moved to L.A., where it was kind of, that's where you kind of have to go to really get on TV. I mean, you can do it from other cities, but it's more harder. So I moved to LA and started getting on auditions or doing shows all around LA. I have to just start from the bottom again, doing open mics that are really awful, especially in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And just kind of doing it so much that eventually people start kind of recognizing you and then maybe recommending you for an audition or just kind of slowly make a name for yourself where then people who actually could get you on TV will take a look at you.
Well, what's the scene like in Rhode Island? Like, who else came out of Rhode Island?
Matt McCarthy.
Yeah, it's not a very big scene. It was a lot of like the guys that ran it when I started were just kind of older. The guys have been maybe in it 20 years or doing like maybe just the same acts, kind of road dog guys.
Okay.
So there wasn't a lot of young comics that were like my peers. I feel like most of my peers I've met in Boston or New York or kind of bigger cities.
That's so anybody you came up with at Boston that kind of came with you or kind of made it up to like be a recognizable name?
Yeah, Josh Gondelman is one guy that was one of my good friends in Boston.
Such a good writer.
Writes for the John Oliver Show and just won an Emmy and just great on Twitter and it's just a great stand-up.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I remember when he first kind of, I think he was on, it was like a Comedy Central tour or something like that. Jonah Ray was hosting part of that and I was like, it's finally happening. That's awesome. He deserves it. Very cool. So tell us about Dreamcore. That's the biggest thing I'm like blown away at. That's such a, people are going
it's really,
crazy.
Yeah, it's a really cool show. The director and creator, Daniel Stessen, is just this kind of brilliant mind. He just thinks it very fits Adult Swim. It's a very out there, kind of crazy environment. But it all takes place in this dream therapy office where they do these demented sessions with the patients to try to cure whatever ailments they have. But all the equipment's outdated and all the staff just doesn't care. And people can die if they do it wrong. So it's very like, it's kind of a dark comedy. But then they, when you go into the dreams, it's rotoscope animation, which is where they actually film the actors and then paint over them in a computer. So it's really psychedelic and it's really, really exciting.
Yeah, that's really awesome, man. That's every
Sunday at 11:45 on Cartoon.
There you go. Yeah, I was looking at this October 29th, 12:15, but that's like a rerun they're showing. That's what was throwing me for a loop.
And on AdultSwim.com, but the video wasn't loading when I went to watch it just half an hour ago, so sorry, I don't have more to ask about it.
Oh, no worries. Yeah.
But the rotoscoping thing, is that kind of like... Oh, I'm sorry. The rotoscoping thing, is that kind of what they did on Tom Goes to the Mayor, the Tim and Eric show that was on?
I don't think that's exactly rotoscope. It's kind of a similar thing where you can tell they've actually really taken... I think the other good examples of it are, I think, Waking Life and Scanner Darkly with Keanu Reeves.
Sure, okay.
Those are more of the rotoscoping technology.
So what do you act in front of a green screen?
No, it's really actually interesting to be on set because you don't have to act in... You can act in front of the crew. You can act anywhere because they end up putting you in a computer and painting over you. So you can paint out the guy in the back holding the
boom. Oh, I dig. Something. Okay, yeah, so the whole thing is good. Oh, that's really cool. Wow.
Yeah, I remember watching that.
But like in the first episode, Dave Coulier is in it, and I wonder if people are actually know if it's really him, because it is a cartoon, but it was actually him, and they painted over him. So
that's awesome.
So I'm curious to know if people will be able to tell it's really him.
Did he do his cut it out thing? I mean, that's the...
Yeah.
That's a dead giveaway, sure.
He shows up in a dream, you know, and it's kind of like similar to like anyone else's dream. Like just random people from, you know, the past will pop up and he's just this kind of character in someone's dream.
Yeah. So what's the whole central concept? So you go inside people's consciousness as they sleep?
Yeah. They kind of plug them into a computer, almost like the Matrix. Uh-huh. And then the doctor who's played by John Grimes, who's in like Napoleon Dynamite, Real Genius, and a bunch of other stuff. He's this mad scientist kind of guy, and he'll maybe go in with you and walk you through something. Like maybe there's a reoccurring nightmare you're having with like a big giant catfish that's gonna swallow you, and he's like, "Whoa, who is the catfish?" And you kind of start getting deeper and deeper into the subconscious and fighting your fears and whatnot.
Well, wow, that's pretty deep for 15 minutes on Adult Swim.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I don't know how they did it.
How'd you come up? Was it just like a straight audition, or how'd you come about the show?
Well, Daniel, the director, created a commercial I was in a couple years ago, and so he asked me to audition for it, and they gave me the part.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's how it works.
It's kind of cool when you can kind of get work from other work when people actually... A straight audition is kind of hard for me because a lot of times it's just, you know, they have to just go, like, love you in that moment, as opposed to someone who's seen your work before and they're like, oh, yeah, you'd be great for this part. And then they already kind of picture you for the part, which is great.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I heard Andy Daly say something about that, like his CarSense commercials or something like that, CarMax commercials. Got him like the role in that movie Middle School because it was like the same director or something crazy. It was like such a
random thing.
That's awesome. So Jess sent me an email, you know, kind of gave you your bio. I knew a decent amount of you about you already, but she talked about your you're a big foodie. Is that the case?
Oh yeah, I love food.
What's because we talk about food for about 30 seconds every episode because it's in the name, but we never give it enough time.
So I guess this is it.
What's
sure.
Kind of what's your favorites and what's like your go-to kind of like comfort food?
Well, I really love like Burmese food. Is where my dad grew up. My grandmother cooked it a lot in our household, which is very similar to Thai food. There's a lot of like coconut and ginger, and a lot of spices.
Nice.
And my favorite dish is this like coconut curry soup with this like coconut chicken, ginger, lemon, onion, cilantro. It's just kind of with the noodles. It's really really good.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Yeah, no, that sounds phenomenal. I make like every once in a while, I make a Burmese fish stew. It's very similar.
Oh, except, really? Wow.
Yeah, it's except you like. What's that?
You're making mohinga, probably.
Probably, I think it's like a somewhat of a spin-off.
That's what I was just saying.
You throw it in. I think you throw it all in a blender. If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
There's everything.
Yeah, it's actually a very similar dish. That's their awesome. Other like main. That's like their staple like dish.
Awesome. Well, I'm proud of fish myself. Stew. I don't know if it was Burmese, but I'm still proud.
That was a good poll.
So awesome. So are you performing, like, are you touring right now, or are you focused solely on the show right now?
Well, yeah, I just kind of got done with a lot of touring stand-up wise. But in the new year, I'll probably go back out. I try to stay home a little bit more for the holidays. I just got married. So, I try to stay home for that and audition and stuff like that in LA.
Awesome.
Although I am going to Saudi Arabia to do some shows.
Oh yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, which is, hey, I'm interested in that. Yeah, well, actually, like, I had to sign a thing that said that if I bring alcohol or narcotics in, that I may be punished by the death penalty, which is kind of really freaked me out.
There's a documentary on Netflix you shouldn't watch under any circumstances. It's somebody who smuggles in a camera into Saudi Arabia. Oh, it's tense.
So I don't know. Bring my cell phone?
That's hilarious. Is it like a USO thing or just a random show?
It's a U.S. embassy tour. I guess there's a bunch of U.S. embassies there that need some entertainment, and I'm going to go make them laugh, hopefully.
Awesome, man. That sounds like fun. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So your album is, remind me, your album's called Almond Baruti?
Almond Baduti. It's on iTunes. Yeah.
Very cool. That's awesome. Where'd you record that at?
I recorded that in Madison, Wisconsin at Comedy on Stage.
Yes.
One of the best clubs in the country. So great.
Yeah, it's like that and Comedy Works in Denver.
Really. Yeah, and like Acme in Minneapolis. Those are like the top three, I'd say.
God, the Midwest, just holding it down, huh?
I know. Yeah, it's fun anywhere, people to make laugh.
Anywhere where they fry cheese, they're going to make people laugh. Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, it's been a lot of fun talking to you, man. You got a really cool backstory, and I'm really excited about Dreamcore now. I knew I wanted to see it beforehand, and now I'm like way more sold, I think, than I was even before. Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, we will have this up. It'll be on. So we're on the radio every week. So this will be up on the radio tomorrow night, just mostly in the like Philly, South Jersey area and Delaware. And technically, you can listen to it on TuneIn, but we'll have it up on iTunes and all that stuff on probably Thursday.
Awesome, thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem. We'll tweet you and let you know when it's up, and we really appreciate you calling in, man.
Cool, thanks.
No problem.
Thanks a lot. Thank you for taking the time.
Bye guys. You're welcome. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast, episode 99. We want to thank our boy, Ahmad Barucha. Funny dude, awesome guy, bright future, mixed race, all that good stuff. He's got all the right stuff for the future. Adorable eyes, too. Very soft eyes. Anyway, enough about that. Ahmad's an awesome guy. Check him out on Dreamcore on Adult Swim, 11:45 p.m. every Sunday. And check out his album on iTunes, Almond Baduti, and check him out on Comedy Central for a few clips and stuff like that to get a preview of that album, because he's super, super funny dude, and well worth checking out. He also has one of the funniest gay marriage bits probably I've ever seen. It was funnier back when gay marriages weren't legal, but you know, still, it's funny.
Takes you back.
Yeah. Makes a comparison to cake and uses the term civil muffin. So, I mean, what else do you need? Anyway. So we're back. We had to cut out a part because we're on the radio now. That was really funny. So I want to tell everybody about it. But
that was the first one, though. Yeah, that was pretty good. It went past. We had to stop, and I had to explain the different levels, right? So that it wasn't profanity.
It was in reference to my son being
an Avatar movie. Come on.
I made a comment about my son. My son having a various heritages in him because of his grandmother. That's all. That's the way I said it.
But yeah. Senator, let's go to the tape.
Exactly. There is no tape.
Oh man.
Yeah. So we're back.
Actually, that's a beautiful segue because if we want to talk about Tyson Fury.
Yeah, please.
Hear what he said when he said that he's opposed to transgenderism. And he believes that bestiality is going to be legalized. And then he called everyone brainwashed by the Zionist Jews because they own all the banks.
Two for three, I would say. Yeah, I mean, that's a solid batting average.
Yeah, he just went straight out. And then he blamed them for killing Jesus, by the way.
Wait, who did?
He killed the Jews for killing Jesus.
Oh, he's just trying to get into a Mel Gibson movie.
No. This dude is crazy. Like, he's literally, he's a gypsy. He's from a gypsy family, right? So he fought. He was allowed to fight for Ireland and for England because he is a gypsy and his heritage has come from both of those. So he literally fought amateurs under both, like as a British and as an Irish.
Yeah, but you're jumping ahead. He was doing bare knuckle, right?
Yeah, he was doing
that was like from like Snatch, like Brad Pitt Snatch stuff, right?
Yeah, his dad was doing bare knuckle. His dad was a bare knuckle.
Okay.
And then became his dad became a legitimate boxer.
Oh, so I didn't know he boxed. Okay.
Yeah, like back in the 80s. So his dad was a bare knuckle brawler, and then it just went through. Like their whole family has been doing it for generations, and so now he's here, and he's not. You can't control him. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing. You can't control him, but they want the freak show to keep going on, but they can't stop. It's not like Mike Tyson where he at least had. Because now you see Mike Tyson in older age, you realize it was all a show, and it just got, you know, it got to where he needed to get him to.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, he's more medicated now.
Well, that and because he's...
Although they weren't really, they were purposely not medicating him properly back in the 80s and 90s. Yeah, that's totally true. Like, they probably could have fixed him and just said, no, why would we?
I mean, why would you? I mean, the dude's he's a natural killer. You know what I mean? Like, but this dude doesn't even have that. Like, if you watched the fight against Klitschko, it was a terrible fight. So I think he's actually scared to fight Klitschko again. And so he's trying to find any way out of the fight so that he can't lose his belt. He just walks away.
So he'd rather give everything up than get back in the ring again and have it taken from him. All right.
Because he literally just made like $40 million off that last fight, which is more money than any gypsy dude's ever going to see anyway. So, you know, he's set.
Ill of the gypsy people. Right?
I've watched that show on Bravo, The Gypsy Weddings.
The Americans don't count. Well,
gypsies, my friend.
European gypsies are much different than...
Oh, well, yeah, they're a little tougher than the white trash American gypsies.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's
American
just,
gypsies are just... they're just
it's Delaware County. Right? It's Delaware County is pretty much what they are.
Yeah. Hey, what'd you say about Flack A?
But... Give me a glass of water. I'm going to give it to this...
So
I'll
get us out of that hole. So that's the thing I think is so interesting about him, though, right? Because he said all that stuff about transgender people and everything, right? And he didn't apologize for saying it. He apologized for offending anyone. And he said he's just not going to talk about that stuff anymore. Exactly. I think that's the most honest apology that anybody's ever given. It's like, I'm going to still think all this stuff that you hate. Yeah. Hate me for? I'm still gonna think it. That's me. That's my stuff.
And that's him. That's what I mean. Like, you can't control the monster that he is because he's not politically correct. He doesn't realize like the money is on the line if you don't shut your mouth. You know what I mean? Like,
and he's saying it's a cultural thing. That's what I think is so interesting about it. Like, especially after watching all the stuff about Saudi Arabia, which is all I've been doing for the past 2 weeks. It's just how because you want to let people hide a little bit behind their culture. But then, like, oh, God, there's such, like, points.
We can all agree that he's totally right about the Zionist stuff, right?
Well, we're on the radio now. I don't want to say stuff like that. It's like we're buying into it.
I don't say that at all, but, yeah, sure, why not? I don't need this.
You don't know how many doctors and lawyers are listening to this? Come on. Yeah,
all the intelligent crowd is listening to us right now. But no, I mean, he's not a good fighter. He's just huge. He's 6'9". He's 280 pounds. And the thing about Klitschko has always been the bigger dude. He's 6'7". You know what I mean? So he's used to punching down on people. So he looked awkward because he had never had to punch up and, like, fight from as odd as it sounds, he was fighting a small man's game. You know what I mean? Like, he needed to jab up, get in, get back out. He didn't know what to do in that situation. And Tyson Fury just looked like a bear just trying to club somebody. Like, it was just bad. It was terrible.
It did confuse me watching that fight because I had no idea he was that big. So I'd never seen anyone stand next to Klitschko.
Exactly.
Right? Because Klitschko's what, like 6'7"?
6'7", yeah. That's the thing. Like, if you watch everybody else, like, even, like, you know, watching, like, Lennox Lewis fighting Mike Tyson, it was like a giant fighting a little boy. You know what I mean? Like, because they're punching down. And when you're used to that, I mean, Klitschko's fought 50 fights where he's been the bigger man. Huh. And you're used to your jab going down instead of going up. It's a whole different style of fighting. Like, and especially considering that Tyson Fury, he's not even, like, orthodox. It's not like he's fighting an orthodox kind of style from that.
Clearly, he's not orthodox. He's very, very anti-orthodox.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's
anti-Hasidic.
It's like one of those circus bears that they put boxing gloves on. They just let wail on people. Like, that's what he looks like.
Speaking of Bert Kreischer earlier, right? He's boxed at the bear.
I mean, that's pretty much what it is, man. Like, in the,
Tyson's line, by the way, that I always forget? Where it's like, everybody's tough until you get punched in the face.
Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
And that's the
such a Tyson line.
It is, dude. It's the best one ever. That one in...
unconscionable.
He broke his back. I broke my back. Yeah, spinal. It's a spinal injury. I mean, I'm glad he doesn't get back in the ring. Because he's one of those... He's one of those things that's like Dana White putting the wrestler in UFC or getting ready to let Greg Hardy go into the UFC. You know what I mean? Like, it's a freak show. It's not a...
Is he fighting Ronda Rousey? Hey, yo, come on, people. He's a white beater.
Hey, him and, it's a tag team between him and Josh Brown.
There you go.
Josh Brown can only kick, though.
Exactly. Josh would have to kick by
any... He would, dude. He would. Yeah. I don't know about Greg Hardy, but I think Josh Brown would get his ass kicked.
Yeah, I like it's like such a classic case of race, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. It's like
white kicker, it's like on record, even though like all the no charges were against him or anything like that, but on the record saying he emotionally and physically abused his wife. And they're like, you know what, we just probably won't bring him to London with us, you know. That's probably all. We should probably
he said he feels like he's a god and his wife is a slave. I'm like, you really are okay with just putting him on the exempt list at this point? Like, you probably should get rid of him.
The exempt list means he still gets paid and he can play.
And that's what Torrey Smith was saying. Like, really? You're just like, how disrespectful it is to the good guys in the NFL that you're going to put this dude on the exempt list and still pay him. But we, you know, one of us slips up our line and you want to, just vilify us forever. Like, what's crazy to me is more people are angry at Josh Gordon for smoking weed 4 times than they are at this dude who beat his wife so bad at the hotel or they called the police to the point where at the Pro Bowl they had to give her another room. The NFL gave her another room.
Yeah, not and then like, he got drunk and started pounding at the door.
Like, what? Like, what?
I mean, we've all been there, but still.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, I literally, when my wife is in the bathroom, I just drink a pint of whiskey and just start kicking the door down, you know? Like, we don't even
I had two jokes I wanted to throw in there, too. One was a Jay joke that I was inserting for Jay. I was speaking on behalf of Jay. Well, when you said, like, why haven't they gotten rid of him yet? I was going to say Jay's joke would have been like, yeah, there's got to be still be a Grammatica brother out there. Yeah. And then when you said people are pissed at Josh Gordon smoking weed 4 times, like, 4 times. He's only smoked weed 4 times. Anyway,
well, thank you.
The first one's a better joke because it came from Jay. I mean, come on.
I was just curious about Tyson Fury. I didn't want to go off in that direction. So, what is he going to come back? Is he going to like resurface a couple years down the road?
Well, if he comes back, they're going to strip him of his belts in a couple weeks.
He already gave them up. That's what I read.
He gave up two of them, but he still holds the WBC
one. Oh, so okay.
If they strip him of the WBC one, then he's completely WBC or WBO. He's completely done.
In case anybody listening, this is why you stopped watching boxing, is this whole conversation.
Well,
but the conversation about there's 12 different belts.
Yeah, there's four different.
I have
belts.
A heavyweight title. I mean, that just goes to show you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, there's
it's the IMF.
Four heavyweight belts out there. Yeah, there's four belts out there, and he's being stripped of three of. He's being stripped of two of them, and he gave up one of them, so he still has one. But what's crazy to me is that, again, like you said, like there's four belts. Like, how do you have four belts for a heavyweight?
In a sport that nobody watches anyway.
bite your tongue.
They're already having a tough enough time because the Klitschko brothers won't fight each other. And
well,
in all seriousness, like nobody really watches heavyweight boxing.
No, heavyweights, no. There haven't been good heavyweights. Well, the reason why no one watches is because it's not an American heavyweight. Like,
if
heavyweights are going to be heavyweights, you want an American heavyweight in there. Because
you also want, like, knockouts.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you don't want, like, Klitschko paws at people. Like, Lennox Lewis pawed at people. You want a heavyweight who comes forward like Tyson did, and just, like, he's got three rounds tops, and he's going to knock your head off. Like, you don't want a heavyweight who's in there, like, dancing around. Like, that's just ridiculous. Like, you're a 220-pound man. You shouldn't be in there, like, finessing it. You know what I mean?
Lennox Lewis was the best because he was Jamaican Canadian with a British accent. Like,
yeah, he's terrible.
Make that stuff up.
And I blame what's his name because of it. The coach he had.
Emmanuel
Stewart.
Yeah.
He taught his big fighters to fight like that, where you're jabbing, stepping back, using your reach the whole time. Which, hey, it is what it is. But I mean. It's not heavyweight fighting, like not in my opinion. Like, but they're trying so hard right now. The kid from Philly, they want him to be good, and then the kid from Alabama, what is his name? He's apparently going to have a belt soon too. It'll just be handed over to him after Tyson
Fury.
Either
super white or super black.
There's nothing. Oh no, he's black. This dude is literally from. The area that's around the University of Alabama. Like, he lives in the it's like a straight hood around that area. Cause I mean, most colleges have it. You know what I mean? Like, cause they can build up around that area and no one's going to complain when they start putting new buildings up. So he's from that area where, like, he used to do, like in the parking lot stuff. Like they'd show people where to park their cars to go to the game.
I thought you were going with, what's his name? The Street Fighter with the, perfectly artisanal chest hair cutting.
Who's that?
The guy who died, black dude, big beard, shaved head.
Oh, Kimbo Slice.
I mean, that dude had the perfect chest hair ever.
He was a joke too, though. That was another freak show for Dana White to bring in. Like,
yeah, Dana White was, like, so opposed to him for so long, and then finally he was like, you know what? There's money to be made here.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it comes down to with Dana White. Like, it's which is disrespectful for so many of the guys who are, like, the local guys who are toiling, and they're getting, you know what I mean? They're going through 15, 20 fights and never get a shot in UFC, and then, like, that CM Punk dude goes in and he fights. He gets a Punk. It's ridiculous. You're a WWE fighter, and, like, Brock Lesnar is a different story. Brock Lesnar legitimately was a heavyweight.
He whooped some ass, yeah.
Well, he was the heavyweight, like, NCAA heavyweight champion for 3 years in a row. Like, that's a legitimate skill. This dude has never been in any fights at all. Like, no wrestling. No, he has no Greco-Roman background, no martial arts background. He just decided, hey, I was in front of people in the WWE, so I can go train and I can do this too. And legitimately, like 15 seconds in, he just looked way outclassed. And the kid who he's fighting, the worst thing for him is now you have no legitimacy because you beat up CM Punk, whereas you have to go fight somebody now and to build your name up where you were just trying to get a fight to get on the UFC card because it was his first fight too in the UFC.
Yeah.
So it's unfair to him because that dude probably went through the lower ranks and probably went through, you know, having to work a second job so he could train. Like, that's the kind of people who deserve a shot, not some dude who just, hey, you know what I want to do? I want to try out the UFC. Like Greg Hardy should be doing a local show. Let him go do you know, five fights at a local show. Show me mm-hmm. that you can really fight. Show me you knock some people out who actually know what they're doing, and then I'll believe you.
Maybe even fight a dude. Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of your girlfriend.
All right. I don't mean to break it up, but you know the rule about if CM Punk comes up three times, we have to call it a night. we're up against the end here. Let's wrap it up.
Well, you guys will have to tell me afterwards who CM Punk is, but yeah. I kind of do.
I keep up with references. Story, I couldn't pick him out if you showed me a picture.
I couldn't pick him out of the lineup either. Yeah. He's like any other 160-pound wrestling white dude, the Hardy Brothers or any of those dudes. Like,
how dare you put the Hardy Brothers in this? I don't even know who the Hardy Brothers are. Hey, were they the ones from Alabama, or I mean West Virginia, who did that?
I don't know. Those were the
not the Bushwhackers.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what it was.
They're Australian. Yeah. Come on,
they were awesome. That's right.
Australian, West Virginian. What's the difference?
Well, you know, you get them all in the same room.
A Billy is a Billy. That's all I'm saying.
Oh. All right, what are we plugging here, Patrick?
We are plugging Ahmed's stuff. So Dream Corp, 11:45, Cartoon Network. Adult Swim, and his albums on iTunes, Almond Badoody, and we are plugging comedyfoodsports.com at CFS Pod, as in Comedy Food Sports Pod, on Twitter. Look us up on Instagram. We might put up a third picture this week. We're not sure. I don't want to get too aggressive. At Comedy Food Sports. Make sure you listen in, tune in, subscribe, all that good stuff. We appreciate everybody listening in. This has been a lot of fun. And we have a couple of sponsors that are joining next week. And if anybody wants to be a sponsor, feel free to email us. We will just go with comedyfoodsports@gmail.com for now. Send us a note and we'll get you on with an on-air ad. We're going to start doing that next week. So we will see you then. For Jay and Shelton and myself, Patrick, we thank you for listening. Go to comedyfoodsports.com for more details on what we're doing and all that good jazz.
We are listeners from the start. Perfect. Listeners. Interstellar shortwave, pick it up all over the place. Interstellar shortwave, take you to another space. Changing fingers, turn of the dial. Another state, yeah.